So Dan Wolf is our technician. And Dan, if you just text me and confirm everything's going well, I'd appreciate that. So we have a brand new system. So we got a camera, and we wanted to come and make sure that it all could get hooked up and everything could get working right. And we found out the camera does it all on its own.
Wow.
It doesn't need the computer, it doesn't need the software on here. It automatically goes and finds Ustream on its own and starts recording. So there's all these things we used to do that we didn't have to do, and it made us a little nervous that we might not do it right. But Dan says everything's good. So we're live, and there's a few people far away that like me to say hi to them. One is Martha. I know she's listening. Hi, Martha.
Hi, Martha.
In Melbourne. And Braden Laidlaw and Maria Latella, I hope I'm pronouncing her word right, a nice Irish gal from Adelaide, Australia, and Linda and Barry down in Jacksonville, Gabriel, some others, some of you guys have met. Rex and Liz are here, as always, and so it's good. So I want to start out by reading a letter I received that's very fitting with a lot of activity that's been going on lately. And I realized we needed to dive into this in detail this weekend, especially after I got this letter. And so we're going to get right into it. And this is from Rebecca in New Zealand. And Rebecca says, "Dear Mike, I don't know who else to ask about a question concerning Joel's teaching on Jesus' crucifixion. Is it okay to ask you? I've been reading Joel for 5 years now and been blessed. However, I stumbled over Joel's understanding of the cross in one of his books called The Parentheses in Eternity on page 65, where he states, no one else has quite the same task ahead of them as do those of us on the mystical path, because we cannot rely on the hope of Christians that Jesus dying on the cross will save us." And then she goes on to say, "I've been watching the videos and thoroughly enjoying them. However, I get the distinct impression Joel believed that Jesus didn't need to go to the cross. Mike, please, if you have the time, can you just explain simply what Jesus accomplished to bring us back to the Father's house and out of the nightmare of our false belief in separation, which is the biggest lie of all? Love and blessings to you and Diane, Rebecca." So, we need to understand that I'm not here tonight to speak about the teaching of the cross if I thought it wasn't one of the problems that's keeping us in a false sense of separation, because it is. And it's going to take this weekend to go through it in detail so that we understand why Joel said this in this book. And so the goal of the teaching this weekend is to deal with the lie of separation. That's our goal. And that's what Rebecca asked for, is to deal with the lie of separation. So I hope everyone who listens will realize that our search for deeper understanding is not one of a personal message. And I'm not going after a person or a group, but we are going to reach out into a truth which will expose some of those things that I know stand in the way of a living experience that can only be today. Okay, we can only experience who we are in this moment. That's the only time you can experience life, is right now. Right now. So, what stands in the way of a living experience? And actually, Joel speaks about the cross in many of his writings. But the one reason that there has not been much talk about it is because he seems to speak about it passively at times. Like in this book, he'll go along and then here's the statement. And the statement itself is shocking to Christianity. But I think we all have realized that we've left Christianity. And so this is one of the last stands, I think, that needs to be dealt with today because it has come up. And so I'm challenged to go into this. So I found statements similar to what we just read from Rebecca in many of Joel's writings. Gary and I have talked. He also has experienced the same. And I want to really get into it in detail. So I hope everyone that listens realizes we're about dealing with the lie of separation. And so we need to set aside that thing which speaks to us, that separates us from who we really are, and realize that if we become offended by truth, that offense is coming from that sense of separation. That's where it comes from. So Joel used to teach before they were recording him. And I have a copy of a written manuscript that was given to me by a teacher of Joel's, where he taught about the cross to his students in a closed class over 60 years ago in San Francisco. And in this manuscript, he goes deeply about the belief of the cross and the finished work. So I'm going to read to you out of that manuscript where he expounds on this in more detail. And he continues, "I do not feel that the crucifixion was of any value to the world, any more than the later persecutions of saints and mystics, because the commonly accepted teaching in the Orthodox churches today that in some way Jesus had to die that we might be saved is only a carryover from the old Hebrew teaching that sacrifices of unblemished animals were required of a god. Such teaching would make God a tyrant. So I cannot feel that crucifixions or persecutions are any part of the plan of salvation for the world." That's what Joel said. Now, that's quite shocking to Christian doctrine. Quite shocking. These aren't my words. I believe it, though. I know it's true. And by the time we get through tomorrow afternoon, I know that if you're listening and we can get past our offense, you'll know why it's true. And the answer to it isn't specifically about the cross, and that's why people have missed it and don't understand it. So, our goal is that we be guided into a deeper understanding about the truth of your own being. That's where the separation's at, right? That's where the separation is. So, this is where we want to focus. So, it's not specifically about the cross of Christ or even the life of Christ. Anyone who claims to be a teacher of truth can only be trusted if they are always pointing you within. We can't find ourselves anywhere else. Within to our own being for the answers. And here we must know the truth of your being to know why is this teaching a problem? And that's where the answer lies. So, why is it so important? Because we, in this moment, cannot rely on another's life or experience, and that includes the life and crucifixion of Christ. Now, why is that? There is nothing that Jesus did in the realm of appearances that saved you. Nothing he did. Now, remember, I said nothing that he did in the realm of appearance saved you. He told us, as the living word, exactly what would save us. He said exactly what it was. He didn't mince around with it. He didn't say that my activity upon the earth would save you. He did not say my death would save you. He did not even say my cross would save you. That's not what he said. No, he never said that. So what did he say? He said in John three times, chapter 8, chapter 16, chapter 17. He said it was the truth that will make you free. The truth about what? Your being. It is the truth that will make you free. And that spirit of your own being would guide you into that truth. I've got to go away. And when I go away, the Spirit will come and guide you into the truth that will save you. Guide you into that truth. And then that the living revelation of this truth would sanctify you. John 8:32, John 16:13, John 17:17, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Full stop. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, will guide you into all truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So understanding truth is what saves us and sanctifies us and guides us. The Spirit within you is the only thing you can trust to guide you into all truth. It's not my words. My words mean nothing unless there's something in you that comes alive and accepts what I say to you as your truth. The truth of your being. That's what saves you. There has to be something that agrees with that within you. And so the life of Christ and the cross of Christ is just a story in a book until you have experienced it. It's just a story until you've experienced it. And so Jesus said again in Luke 9, if any man will come after me, and what? After the word. After the truth will come after me. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his personal perception of life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his personal perception of life, I added the words in personal perception. Whosoever will lose his personal perception of life for my sake, the same shall save it. Now, why does he say daily? Because we must walk in the reality of a new and living way. In this moment, each moment, and that takes an awareness that is actively refreshed every morning by the living truth of what you are. What you are. That living truth is alive in us. It sanctifies us. It keeps us. It teaches us. And it is you. It's you. When Moses was standing in front of the burning bush, the word of the Father came out from within him and taught him. There wasn't some God out there standing up, speaking at him. It all came from within. And so, the life that needs to be lost has nothing to do with physical death. One of the reasons is Jesus did not believe in physical death in any form, and he proved it to us, not in any form. He preached against it on many occasions, and neither should you believe in physical death. We talked about that a lot in March when I had a whole message on what is life. Eternal life cannot end. It has no beginning, it has no end. So our definition of life, as we talked about, is very skewed, isn't it? Because we still talk about it all the time. They died, and this one croaked, and that one isn't here. And Jesus said to the guy who came and says, let me go bury my father. He said, let the dead bury the dead. What an awful statement to say. How rude. This is exactly what he was talking about. Why is it that we, as people who are seeking fatherhood realization, talk the way we do about death? Because we're lacking understanding. That's why. And we just have to admit it. There's something missing. There's still a sense about us that believes that people die. Jesus said there's no such thing. There is no such thing. Not when you're living in the land of the living and it says it's eternal. Eternal life can't end. Life by its own definition can't end. And we spent so much time on that. But we talked about that a lot. And I hope you can go listen to that message if you still want. You still got some of the dangling chads or something about death in there, go back and listen to What is Life? And it'll help you, because it was a beautiful message. So now, Deepak Chopra said, religion is the belief in someone else's experience. Spirituality is having your own experience. This means that it is ever present and alive in every moment. Has to be, or it means nothing. In every moment, this is your experience, and it cannot have to do with anything that took place within the appearance of history. It's nothing to do with history. So, let's dive into a little more why we're struggling with this issue. Why is the cross such a big issue today? And it's because within the literal meaning of Scripture, we miss the mystery that's being taught. We're missing the mystery. So one of our biggest problems in the interpretation of Scripture is we continue to take the stories and focus too deeply on the literal meanings, and then attach them to time and space. We do it all the time. All the stories are about you. And there are moments in time within your living experience that you can relate to these stories. The story of Noah has nothing to do with the flood and people dying. The whole story of Noah, as we heard the revelation that Herb Fitch gave and that I gave a couple years ago, Lost in Time, that the story of Noah is about man drowning in the ocean of passing time. That because he believes time passes away, he passes away right along with it. Why? Because we're in that concept of death again. Because we believe that people can die. That's why. And we dealt with that, and I'm not going to go into that in detail, but what I want to talk about is failing to draw out the living mysteries behind the stories. We've done this with almost every story in the Bible, and we are again doing it to the story of the Christ. He was the living Word. He is the Word. Living Word, not a word. Living Word. You are the living Word. You are. You are the living Word. You can't get any more. It's all in there. I keep talking about the Ragu commercial, but it always comes to my mind, you know. Mama opened the jar. It's all in there, son. You have everything you need for life and godliness. There's not a word that can save you. The Word, which is your life, is what saves you. This is why we focus again on what? Our own being. Not on a story, not on any stories in the Bible, including the story of Jesus and his life and his crucifixion. So, we're letting the literal story of the cross overshadow the deeper spiritual meaning of the cross. And I'm going to teach you what that is today. What is that deeper spiritual meaning of the cross? Christian doctrine always focuses on the literal stories of Scripture. We all know that. We've all been in churches. We know how they use the Bible to beat you over the head. And they're all talking about the literal meanings of the passages, always. And so, it's no different with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ and the proclamation of the finished work of Calvary. But in doing this, we've totally missed the true meaning of why he was crucified to begin with. And so this is where we must focus right now. We're going to focus on that. Now, I want to remind everyone, again, our goal. It's our goal to deal with what? The false belief in separation. That's our goal. And if we remember that and hang on to that, that is our goal, not the cross. So please just keep this within the context of what I'm sharing, okay? Because that's our goal. So the mystery of the cross, what is it? In the Old Testament, we have a prophecy that Christ will be crucified. So why was it prophesied to begin with? And what's the meaning of it? And it's this, that we must understand that the crucifixion is not referring to a man. Hello. Wow. The crucifixion is not referring to a man. But what it's referring to is the crucifixion of the Christ. And it's referring to the crucifixion of truth. The Christ means the manifestation of truth on this earth. And it's not said that everywhere in Scripture. Beginning of John, the Word was Christ and dwelt among us. So, the crucifixion is not about a man dying on a cross, but the crucifixion of truth. I'm going to prove it to you. If Jesus never spoke a word, they'd have never crucified him. If he came to this earth and never spoke a word, he would have never been crucified. Hello. Or if he came down and nailed himself to a cross and was buried and rose again, it would do no one any good on any level. That's all he did. The verse below explains this very, very clearly. 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. But rather, we are really setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding and now revealed to us by God. And that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification to lift us into the glory of his presence, this wisdom none of the rulers of this age or world perceived and recognized and understood this, for if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. What's it about? What's it say it's about? The wisdom that was once hidden. He was crucified because he came and revealed the wisdom that was once hidden, and it was against what everybody believed. And they crucified him for it. What did they crucify? The truth. It's not about a man. They crucified the truth. And that's what it's about. And here we see it is the hidden wisdom that cannot be understood with the human mind that lifts us into the glory of his presence. Not the crucifixion of a man, but the crucifixion of truth. That's what it's all about. That's the key we're missing. And that's what Joel teaches. This was all about the crucifixion of truth. Now, Joel continues in the San Francisco lecture, and he says, probably no one caught this vision of fatherhood realization more than Jesus. And because he identified himself with it, the religions of that day thought in crucifying him it would be rid of what? The troublesome truth. But it did not work, because the record shows that there were many who followed after who were all crucified and put to death for the same reason. And we do not look to their crucifixion or death the same way as we do Jesus, when there is no difference. It's not about the cross. It's not about a man dying for us. It's not what it's about. That's Christian doctrine. It's come over from Christianity. And that's not what we are. That's not our goal, is it? Our goal is to be set free from the separation of unbelief. That's our goal. So now, Joel continues to expound on this, and it's beautiful. Although it's hard, I know there's a lot of people moaning and groaning out there. There's some waiting for it. There's some that are going to come after me for it. And there's some who are going to be troubled about it. But what are we here for? Why are we here again? To deal with the separation of unbelief that keeps us from our reward. That's what we're here for. And so we're after what? The truth. About who we are. Who we are. And we're going to get there tomorrow. And Gary and I have talked about it. He's going to share on it. So now, the title of this message tonight and tomorrow is called The Crucifixion and Mortal Mind. Mortal Mind. the crucifixion of Jesus in mortal mind. Mortal mind. Not immortal mind. The crucifixion of mortal mind. I shared this with you in Georgia when you were there. We talked quite a bit about this. It says, mortal mind never has and never will accept truth. Whenever it appears, religion will always say, it's not orthodox. It's not in accord with our personal understanding and teaching. Therefore, it cannot be true. Crucify him. That's why he was crucified. They said it. So the Christ, which means the manifestation of truth, will always be crucified, because whenever the Christ touches mortal thought, it will be crucified. Our own mind crucifies the fact that we're one with the Father and there's no other. Our own mind has a sense of separation all the time, folks. All the time. There's a cloud, there's a sense of separation in us that feels something's missing. Something's not quite right. That's a sense of separation. That's our goal, is to deal with that. So truth, the Christ, what? Demands that mortal mind die. And this is the laying down that we're talking about. This is what it means to die daily. The mortal mind has to be crucified by truth. It's one or the other. The mortal mind's going to crucify truth, or the truth has to crucify mortal mind. That sense of separation has to be crucified. This is the laying down. You don't have to climb up on a cross and nail nails in your hands and feet. You've got to die to a concept that you're separate from the Father. That's what it's about. So, truth demands that we die daily to our humanhood and the activity of taking thought. This is what Joel says. Truth demands that we die daily to our humanhood, that sense of separation. And this is why Jesus and Luke said again, if any man will come after me, let him deny his sense of separation in himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Follow the truth about your own being. Don't listen to your mortal mind. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to someone else's mortal mind about what isn't true about you. And that's a big deal. This is a big deal now. This isn't no small deal. So here we find that it is in our own crucifixion or identity of a life that is separate that we move beyond the world of words and thoughts, and we move beyond the material into the spiritual. We're spiritual beings, guys. We're not mortal beings, but we think as mortal beings all the time. Mortality speaks on the TV, mortality blares in the movies, the sense of mortality in our mind is telling us we're not worthy, and all this stuff. All the time. It speaks. Doesn't mean you agree with it all the time, but sometimes we do, don't we? And if we do, it means there's misunderstanding about the truth of who you are. And we're going to really dig into that tomorrow. We're going to start talking about it a little bit tonight, which is off the talk of the cross a little bit, but we're still going to be talking about that and why that needs to change. So, the human mind must die to all that it thinks or desires for living. Mortal mind, the human mind, must die to all that it thinks or desires for living. I spent a lot of time in Georgia and last month talking about this. The human mind, a mind of separation, must die to everything it thinks or desires for living. And I mean everything. This is why there's suffering. This is why there's pain. This is why it's difficult. It's why. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Which means I can of my own self do nothing. The Father within, he doeth the works. Why callest thou me good? There is none good but what? That Father within me. Mm-hmm. That's the only one that's good. Yep. And it is you. But it's not who you think you are. That's the problem. It's not who you think you are. That's what's got to be crucified. That person that you think you are isn't real. It's not real, folks. It ain't a duck. And it stands in our way. And that's our goal, is to grab that little duck and strangle it. Okay? This duck's got to die. Now, all of this truth that Jesus said paralyzes mortal mind because it cannot find common ground without its understanding. So what does mortal mind do but seek to crucify the message by going after the messenger? Because how can they say these things unless they're making themselves equal with my God? Not the real Father. They thought he was making himself equal with their personal God. And that's why they crucified him. Mm-hmm. You're setting yourself up as God. Yep. They didn't have any idea who God was. The true God and Father of Jesus had no idea. Yep. But when they heard what he said, they thought he was making him equal with the God of the Hebrew religion. Mm-hmm. And they crucified him. And that's the only reason they crucified him. The only reason. And it said it in Corinthians. Joel says again, truth is holy and sacred. Truth is omnipresent. And in every period of the world's history, there will rise up those to repeat it over and over again. It's never original with any person. The message that Jesus came to teach us was older than time itself. There is not a new or original thing in all of his teaching. It is in the repetition of that which has come down through the ages time and time again. It has come down to us. But the lesson that we must learn is that truth is universal, it's impartial, it's impersonal, and it does not require of you to hang on a cross. But it does require of you your idea of life. It requires of you your idea of life. That's what Joel says. There's our key right there. What? A sense of separation. The sense of separation requires of you this. It requires of you your identity, your name. And this is why Paul and Peter and Jacob got new names. You got to die to everything you've thought about yourself. It isn't real, folks. None of it. And if you're struggling and fearful in any way, it's because you're trying to preserve your identity that's separate from who you really are. This is the very core of all of our difficulties. It's about identity. It's about thinking we're someone when we're nothing.
Absolutely.
Paul said it. When you think you're someone, when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Oh, come on, Mike, that's mean. That's not very nice. Aren't I something? No. Jesus said, I and of my Father are one. I can of my own self do nothing. Nothing's nothing, I think. What does that mean? What does it mean? The Father within, he doeth the works. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but what? The Father within. Why did he say that? Because he was the Father within.
Yeah.
And there's no other. There's no other. Hello. You will have no other gods before you. And the biggest one is yourself. This concept you have of yourself is all a lie, every bit of it. What are we preserving? An identity. We're preserving an identity, the ego. It puts us in. The sense, it's where all of the sense of separation comes from, is the ego. What? Preserving a life that's not real. Preserving a life that we think's going to die. Walter Lanyon says, well, if you're sick and you get healed, and you just get sick and die, why don't you just die and get it over with? What's the purpose of it? It's silliness, isn't it? And that's what all the people in Jesus' time, they all wanted something to preserve their identity. Not one of them understood who he was, including his disciples. The truth that requires of you your all of your idea of life, every little bit of it. And that's not easy, guys. They're squalling and bawling and carrying on now, I'm telling you. There's squalling going on. So back again, what did Rebecca ask us for? How are we going to get out of the nightmare of the false belief in separation? She didn't ask about the cross. How do we get out of the nightmare of the false belief in separation? That's our goal, okay? That's all of our goal. That's what we want. This sets the separation. We want to be set free from it. How do we get out of it? And the key factor is in losing our life. So what does that mean? So the only way you can come out of the separation is to experience it for yourself. You have to experience it. And in this experience, you're set free. You can't just read a story. You can't experience it by looking back at an event that took place 2,000 years ago, either. It's history. You can't. You can't experience it by reading any story in the Bible unless that story comes alive in you and teaches you the mystery and allegory of the story. It means nothing. It's just words in a book. It means nothing. So, here we are in this moment right now. It's only in this moment that we can experience what? Peace and joy of eternal life. It has to be alive right now. Yeah. It is an ever-present peace and understanding, and it is not something that can happen outside the reality of who and what you are right now. It's not going to come tomorrow, and it sure as hell hasn't been there in the past, because she wouldn't be asking. There's still something missing, isn't there? And if we're honest, we'll admit that. Because if we're not honest about it, what are we doing? Defending an ego, defending an identity, trying to preserve a false sense of separation. Boo. It's not good. It's not what we need. And I hope it's not what any of us want. Don't we want to have a peace that passes what? All the understanding of the mortal mind. All the understanding, all the concepts the mortal mind comes up with. It's a bunch of horse hockey. And there's a lot of it. There's a lot of jabbering going on in hell. Because hell is a place of separation. And it always has been. And what happens there? Gnashing of teeth. Hell and destruction are never full because the eyes of man are never satisfied. What? With its life. With its life. Why? Because it has the wrong definition of what life is. Hello? We've got the wrong definition of what life is. And it can't be something that happened yesterday. It has to come alive in us right now. Okay? So, this salvation and understanding must be brought into each living moment. And this is why Jesus said we must die daily to the false concept that there is a life that is your own, that needs someone or something to do something for you or to you. Hello? That includes Jesus now, folks. That includes a cross, doesn't it? If you have a mindset that somebody needs to do something to you or for you, it ain't here yet. It ain't here yet. Where are we living? In the future? We're still waiting for something to happen. And this is why Dean posted on Facebook, if you're preaching about the finished work of Christ, you might as well preach the rapture, because there's no difference. Because it ain't come yet. You're still waiting. You're still waiting. You're still waiting. That's no fun. I'm telling you right now, it's no fun. Until you have been crucified and understand sacrifice, love will remain a stranger. This is what Dean said. Until you are crucified and understand sacrifice of what? A belief in a separate identity apart from the Father. An ego that hasn't understood that it's not real. An ego that thinks it's got life and it hangs on to it in little packages called health. That's why. Why? Because it's afraid of death. Why do we want to be healthy? Because we don't want to die. But you're never going to die. Why not skip over, as Lanyon said? Why not skip over that and just say, I'm never going to die? Do we believe that, really? Then if we did, the word death would never come out of your mouth. Ever. Ever. We wouldn't say somebody just died, because I don't believe it. And we're going to get into that really deeply on Saturday afternoon. We're going to really dig into that, because it's a big one. Because we just mansy-pansy go to funerals and go around, oh, I'm sorry for you, I'm sorry for your loss, and it's too bad, and you know, and we didn't like it when Mackie left us. We don't like that stuff. But he says here, there's no such thing as death. You have eternal life. Really? I do? Oh. Are you sure? If you have eternal life, why do we believe that death's real? Hello? Why? That's a big one. Or we just passively talk about it mindlessly? I don't think so. I don't think so. Oh, Mike, don't be mean. You know, I'm not going to go under a funeral and say, let the dead bury the dead, okay? I won't do that, okay? I will not say that. I just won't go. How about that? I just won't go. Until you've been crucified and understand what the sacrifice of this sense of separation. Listen, guys, it's good for you. It's really good for you to get rid of the false belief in separation. It's really good for you. Why do we have such a problem with it? Why are we hanging on to death so tightly? Why are we hanging on to our belief in death so tightly? Because we don't understand truth. That's why. It's got nothing to do with the cross. Nothing whatsoever. Here, what we are talking about, again, is losing of the identity and the concept that there is even a self apart and separate from the Father. That's what's got to die. And boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, does he got a train behind it. You know those big dresses that people wear in royal weddings, those trains? There's a lot of bullshit back there, boys. Isn't there?
Yes.
And until you experience what? Until you find yourself in a pile of shit and realize it's not what you expected, you won't find yourself.
Yep.
That's the prodigal son. What? Why'd you say it that way, Mike? Because it's just exactly what it means. He found himself where? In a pigsty, amongst a bunch of pig shit.
Yep. Yep.
And it's what woke him up.
Yep.
He said, what? Wait a minute. I'm the son of the king. He always was. He never wasn't the son of the king. He forgot to remember who the hell he was. That's it. That's all. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You're not who you think you are. So who you think you are is your only enemy. It's not who you really are. Because who you really are has none.
Mm-hmm.
Who you really are doesn't have any enemies. And so now, this is the whole reason Jesus came, to reveal unto us our Father. He came to teach us about our Father and to reveal unto us this Father that is your identity. You got no choice. That's not up to you. It really isn't. It's not up to you. You were created that way. The living Father upon the earth. That's what you are. You can't do anything about it. That's part of the difficulty, is what we're trying to do something about it, aren't we? And we're trying to do something about life, we alter the true meaning, and we get off base, we get off track of what real life is. We come up with our own definitions of what life are. None of them are true. Not one of them are true. And it won't take me long now. I'll be glad to sit down with anyone, and I'll just listen, and I'll guarantee you within 10 or 15 minutes, I'll be able to tell you what your problem is. I'll guarantee you. They think Jesus had some magical way of reading minds, but I'm telling you, the flesh tells on itself real quick. Real quick. And I know what it says. Because I know what my false sense of separation sounds like myself. It's my own experience. And I know when this guy's speaking, and I tell him, shut the hell up, Nevins. Get behind me, Satan. I don't believe you. And he shuts up. He does. Get behind me. Thou art for the things, what? Of man, not the things of God. Well, what are the things of God? That you are the living Father walking upon this earth, and there is no other.
Amen.
You. And you can't even, the last thing you can do is think your way into it. You can't think your way into it. You can't change your behavior and get there. You can't. It's got to hit you and knock you over like a ton of bricks, and you wake up out of the bullshit and you say, wow, it's me. It's really me. But you really say, oh, it's the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the Father, and there's no other.
Mm-hmm.
There's no other. And he doesn't need to do anything. The first thing you realize is you don't need to change anything.
Yep.
And then there's silence in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to wait, and you begin to become guided in that silence on where to go and what to do without anxiousness for passing time. Without watching a clock. Without worry, without any worry. And a peace takes over you that begins to guide your life. Where? In the secret of silence. And that was our last message in March, the secret of silence. And what was the key? Let go of your anxiousness about the problem in front of you.
Yeah.
Let go of your answer to your problem. Because what is it? It's a choice between what? Good and evil. You're at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil again, where you think you have to make a choice, and the only place you can make a choice is in hell. It's the only place. There's no such thing as free choice. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing as free will. All those concepts are straight from hell. And Martin Luther said it very clearly. He said, the belief in self-will is the most widespread commodity in hell. And if there were no self-will, there'd be no hell and there'd be no devil. Whoa. That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yep.
So, our Father, He came to reveal to us our Father. One of the first things He said about this Father is He judges no man. Wow, that's really nice. My Father, who is who I am, judges no man. Really? Boy, I've sure gotten problems with that. Well, guess what? Then it ain't your Father speaking, is it? What is it? This thing up here, spinning, doesn't like something, wants something to change. That's what's talking. It ain't that Father that's satisfied with Himself all the time. He's always happy with Himself in you. And He says, hello, come in, it's me. It's all there is. That's all there is. It's me. Hello. Come in, Mike. Yeah. Yeah, Father. I hear you. 10-4. Shut the hell up. That's what I radio back to him. Shut the hell up. Shut up, Mike. What do you want? What is it? What's your problem? Huh? Hello. Come in. I'm all you need for life and godliness. Hello. Come in. Hello. Oh, yeah. Okay. Are you satisfied with all? Well, I guess not today. I'm bitching and moaning and carrying on. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, guess what? It's going to eat your lunch. Come back. Come on back. Got quite a long list a lot of times, don't we? The whole reason Jesus came was to reveal unto us who you are, this Father of light and love. There's nothing else. It's all there is. There's nothing else. Stop believing it. Just start by stop believing it. There's nothing else. There is no other God in heaven or upon the earth except you manifest as the transparency of this Father. You are that transparency. And it doesn't matter if you believe it or not. Whoa. Isn't that something? And He said in 2 Timothy, even if you can't make it, I cannot deny myself in you, because that's what I am, is you. Even if you don't make it, I won't deny myself in you. I'm going to draw you kicking and screaming out of the pigsty. I'm still going to bring you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Quit judging the earth. Don't worry about your neighbor. Forget it. I'm going to get you by the ankle and you're going to make it. I cannot deny myself as you, would be a better way to say it. I cannot deny myself as you, because that's all there is. And that's why Abraham had to go to sleep, because of all, that's why he was asleep, because of all of his unbelief. And God swore by Himself that He'd be faithful to Himself in you. Full stop. That's beautiful. Does it get any more beautiful than that? Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah. Unto myself is the Father, there's nothing else. That's all there is. So, if we're stuck, something's happening. Oh, there we go. Rah, 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 rah. Something's going on. Something's happened. Shit hit the fan. if we believe that we need a specific thing with that which comes to us, we're believing in a God of reward and punishment. What are we doing? Help! Help! Come in! Come in, God! Please do something for us! Jesus! Come in! Please do something for us! Come in, Jesus! Oh, it hurts! Well, what hurts is the answer to your problem. A circumstance has come to your life, and you want it to go this way. And you hang on to it until it kills you. And it will. Mm-hmm. Yep. It will. Believe me, I know. I've experienced it now. It isn't a story in a book. I've experienced this many, many times. Many times. And guess what? Problems don't quit coming. Somehow we think we're going to set up on Solomon's castle and they're going to start showing up with bags of money and we'll sit on the lazy river and not even have to go to the bathroom anymore. Come on now. Hello. That's what we think blessing is. It's got nothing to do with blessing. Absolutely nothing. The rain falls on what? The just and the unjust. Who are the just? Those that know who they are. It's not those that's done something right. It's those who know who they are and have been delivered from what? The false sense of separation. So believing in a cross where you're somebody that somebody needed to do something for is separation. It's duality. There's two. There's a God that we've hung on a cross that had to do something for me or must do something for me so I can be saved. And the only thing you need saved from is yourself. This false concept of who you are. That's the only thing. And it won't die easy. That's all I got to tell you. It's not the same. There's not a pattern. I can't give you a prescription and say, take three of these, it'll be all over. I can't do that. I wished I could. But I can't. It's different for everyone. Right. And it's your journey.
That's right.
We must stop believing in a Jesus that did something for us or to us. Because we're back at what? Good and evil again. Here, there is a mindset that there's always two, and not the realization that we are the Father of light and there is no other and he don't need anything. He's very well established to take care of himself and you. No matter what comes. And Jesus showed it to us. He had his hand out, was covered for leprosy. Oh! Did he start crying and carrying on? No. He put his hand back under his robe and he pulled it out and it was gone. What does it say? No matter what comes to you, it's for you. Mm-hmm. Everything that comes to you is for your reward. And what is your response going to be? Come in, somebody. Put the shut to the up. Shut the hell up. Shut it up. Enter in to the silence of your being, and there you'll be instructed. People have accused me because I like Joel a lot that I don't believe you should ever go to the doctor or the hospital, and that's a bunch of horse hockey. I don't care what you do. But the only place you can be directed correctly is from this place of silence within. It's the only place. That's it. And it will guide you, what? Into all truth. Can we be still enough? Long enough? To get in tune with ourselves? Well, we can't do it if we're jabbering and looking for an answer to our problem. Because there's no silence there. Gnashing of teeth. And teeth can gnash with just in your brain. It can spin. Sometimes it's worse. Maybe if I chew on it a little more, shut me up. I told you last time, if you got a real big problem, take a ball peen hammer and hit your knee real hard. You'll forget all about it. Hit it as hard as you can. Oh. What was that I was whining about a couple hours ago? I know. This is true. The mind is your only enemy. The only thing. The mind. Now, you are the Father of Light. Isn't that beautiful? You are the Father of Light. There's no other. Quite amazing, isn't it? But our concept of God is he's a control freak, so we can't get in line with that. Because we think God needs to do something. And he don't need to do anything. He's already done it all.
Yep.
Hello? Take a break. Rest. Chill out. Try it. How long have we tried that? Just chilling out. Usually when we chill out, we're guilty because we didn't do something. Or we need to do something. Just try it for a while. So now, I'm bringing back, before we close, which we will be in about 10 minutes or so, I'm bringing back a passage, not a scripture, but a passage I shared with you out of Revelation, deeper understanding about all of this truth. So here, we find that there's one thing that has prevented harmony and peace. Not only in our individual experience, which this is our goal, right, is to have peace in our individual experience and be set free from the belief in separation. There's one thing that has prevented harmony and peace of not only our individual experience, but our collective experience as well. And maybe more than any other thing. And that is the belief that there is something or someone that can give us harmony and peace. And this includes the cross of another. The cross doesn't give you peace. It's not the cross that gives you life. It's the realization of the Father within, which is the immortality of your life. And this is what saves you. To know me is life eternal.
Mm-hmm.
To know you as the me is life eternal. And there's only one. There's not the Father and you as a personality or an ego. There isn't. And we still haven't gotten that, guys. I'm telling you, we haven't got that down. I'll tell you, I'll sit down with you and you just get relaxed and jabber a little bit. And I'll say, there's the flesh talking. There's separation talking. You can't get away with it. Start listening to your own tongue. How can you be a righteousness that judges no man, a righteousness that sees all the people righteous, a righteousness that's not judging the world, but sees all the people in equity and uprightness? That's you. That's not some guy sitting on a throne. That is the essence of your being. And when you're not in line with that, I'm telling you what, there's trouble. And I'm sorry, but I can't change who the Father created. I'm just sorry. You're not a monkey. I act like a monkey sometimes. But I know it's not me. It's my body following the mind that forgets who it is. It forgets to remember who it is. And we mix the two. We still haven't come to a clarity that defines that you will have no other God before you or outside you, and that includes Jesus. Jesus has been made into a God, an icon that people worship, and all of Christianity worships him. They wear bracelets. What would Jesus do? Well, he's deader than a doornail. So he ain't doing nothing. How's that? Jesus deader than a doornail. There's no more Jesus. He is the Christ, which isn't a person. It's the truth.
Yeah.
It's the truth. The truth is who you are, the manifestation of light and love. And that's all you are. And so, do we see ourselves as this Father of light and love, who judges no man for anything? Wow. Anything? Yep. Anything. He doesn't get pissed off about his neighbor. He don't. What does? Our judgment gets pissed off about our neighbor. It's our judgment that's what gets pissed off. It ain't Father. Hello, flesh. What's your problem, Nevins? I say it a lot less than I used to. But when there's a sense of separation, there's a sense of darkness, there's a sense that something's not in order, it's my mind complaining. Starts out, sound like a little gerbil. I'm not sure I like that. Don't let it out, Nevins. Boy, I really don't like that. Rah, 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 rah. Starts out as a little voice and gets bigger, and then it throws a tantrum. Starts throwing the rolling pin and the pie pan and the frying pan and whatever else. Come on now, you know, don't say, well, you said frying pan. I don't ever do that. You throwed something, I'm sure. A tantrum. Whatever you throw, right? That ain't the Father of light. And that's why it weighs you down. That's a sense of separation. See, that's that sense of separation. So, all you are is this Father of light. That's all there is. And you can't do anything about it. But rest in this realization. It was there before there was ever a cross or a Jesus walking upon the earth. And it will be forever your reward. Forever. It's never had a beginning. There's no such thing as passing time. So the question now is, in a deeper way, we're going to begin tomorrow to talk about who you are at a deeper level. That's going to stick. I'm going to help you so it sticks, okay? All right? Would you like that?
Yes.
I give you some sticky glue to this truth? Huh? It's going to be fun now, I think. There might be some squalling going on. But that's what we want. We want to poke an egocentric mind. We want to poke it. And some of them aren't going to like it, but we're going to keep poking it. So, thank you, everybody. We will see you tomorrow at 9 a.m. And Gary Sigler will be sharing more of the same. And then after he speaks, we'll have a little break, and I'll be back with you for a continuation of the crucifixion and mortal mind. Okay? Thank you so much. We love everybody. Good night. No, I'll do it. That's all right. Thanks.